Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Thanks for listening and subscribing to DIY for Business. A very hot episode here with Greg and I. Greg, aside from hot, how are you doing?
You know, it's hard to put anything aside from hot right now. It is so hot where I live. It's uncomfortable, yeah, but we're going to get through this. I'm feeling good. Actually, I'm loose. It's helping my muscles be loose. I got to tell you though, Russ, I followed your advice on something.
Really? This could be a first. No, I'm just kidding. what was the advice you took?
I watched the Elvis movie.
Oh, beautiful. We talked about that a couple episodes ago, right?
We did, and I finally got around to it because I think it was just got loaded up on HBO Max. Nice. And I watched it last night. And okay, so tell us what you liked about it. I'm going to tell you what I liked and what I didn't like.
You know
what?
I liked the fast movement of it, and I liked the way that they kind of tweaked the music, the audio. This was one of the best sounding movies that I've watched in a while. Like, the sound was so good, and it was weird that they blended in some contemporary songs in there, but it worked. And just the speed of the movie was what I really liked. That was it. And it wasn't the typical Elvis story, you know. As you know, it was really about the other character.
Yeah, about the Colonel.
Yep.
You know, it's from the Colonel's point of view. Now, I'm going to say something extremely controversial.
Okay.
I did not like Tom Hanks.
Well, that was the point, too, to partially not like Tom Hanks. But you know what I didn't like about him? Was it the voice? Because the voice bugged me.
It was the voice. I couldn't deal with
it. Yeah. It was a horrible accent.
It was a horrible accent. It was tough to understand at parts. And I was like, what did he just say? Anyway. But on the flip side to that, what's the actor's name? Austin
Butler,
who played Elvis, was an amazing sounding Elvis.
Yeah, right?
Like, the voice when he's talking, when I guess he did a lot of the singing himself, was like spot on. I'm a big Elvis fan, so you know my ear is in tune to the tones and the pitches of Elvis, and he was spot on. He was amazing.
Yeah, yeah, he was really good. Actually, I think the acting in general in that movie, like, everybody did a phenomenal job. But yeah, the accent, the voice just killed me. Come on, Tom, don't do that.
Yeah,
Tom, so, if you're listening, because I know you are. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. So I also watched a documentary on John McEnroe, and you know, being around the same age as McEnroe, maybe I'm a little younger than McEnroe. Anyway, I was a big McEnroe fan and everything, and hearing his story of when he was rising to fame and how he got married to Tatum O'Neal and that whole story. So I watched those two things back to back, and they had a common theme. Both guys were not good parents because they were so into their careers and into their lives. Neither of them. I mean, obviously, it's a lot tougher for a professional athlete and an entertainer that's traveling on the road all the time to be as present with their family as, you know, the normal person, but we could totally relate to the challenges that they have. I mean, obviously their challenges are extreme, but both of them are lousy dads, especially in the beginning. Now, McEnroe became a better dad, and I think Elvis wanted to be a good dad, but both of those were touched in both movies. And I thought, wow, this is kind of weird that in both stories about two very famous people had a very relatable aspect to it.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, as we've said before, it's hard to maintain that work-life balance because you get so far into your work. And these guys, I mean, come on, Elvis, right? Like, he's always got to be doing something unless he's, you know, flying to Denver to get a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or peanut butter and banana sandwich. He's always working, doing something. So how does he manage to have that life? And, you know, the crazy thing is, it's like, you feel like you're trying to build up a legacy for yourself, right? Like, in some ways, with whether your business or whether you're Elvis. Greg, I'm gonna compare you to Elvis here, as I always do. Way, like, you're building up this thing and you're trying to leave something, leave this legacy behind. But then it's like, is that the right thing to do? And how do you do that? How do you be a legacy and have this, like, be a good dad and be a good business owner, or be a good parent, be a good business owner, or be a good spouse and be a good business owner? It's sometimes tough. And we're positioning this big problem, and I don't know if Greg and I can answer it. We tried to in one show early on in one of our first episodes of DIY. So today we're gonna try it again. We're gonna try to do better this time. And
we have help.
Yes, exactly. Jim Sibelico, you're gonna help us out with this because I'll let you tell everybody your specialty. But thank you for joining us here on DIY for Business.
My pleasure, guys. I'm honored to be sharing the mic with you.
Awesome. Well, did you see the Elvis movie is the big question.
I did not.
Okay. No. Well, you got to go watch that. Then we'll have you back in a couple of weeks and we'll get your take on Tom Hanks. But maybe you didn't watch it because you're so busy. Tell us about what you do.
I guess by definition, I spend most of my working hours, so to speak, hands-on in my marketing agency. Which is mostly helping small to medium businesses grow and reach kind of that freedom point, which I think ties hand in hand with what we're looking at here. A lot of people look at scaling a business because they want to scale to a dollar figure. We take a bit of a different approach in scaling to the freedom point. And what that is really figuring out the spot in your business where you can grow your business so that it's self-sustaining and you're able to have that freedom of time and location with your family and kind of live the life that you want, not necessarily tied to your business. So it's really kind of just getting to the point where you're not stuck being an employee in your own business, but your business is kind of working for you to provide that lifestyle for you and your family so that you can really make the most of it.
So are clients coming to you with that problem, or are clients coming to you with the problem of they want to grow and you talk them through this? And like, how is that beginning interaction with a client?
To be honest, it's usually more the second. Like, people aren't necessarily aware of the fact that that's what they want. And that's kind of one of the reasons why I have these conversations, is to really be vulnerable and be an example for people to show them, like, hey, the definition of success is not a house or a bank account or a fancy car. It's being present in your family. It's being a leader in your business and your house. And I think not enough people have that definition of success for their business and their life, right? A lot of people look at, I'm a successful business person if I make a ton of money. But, like, that isn't the be all end all. If you make a ton of money and you're not presence in your house and your kids' lives and your spouse's life, then it's really a moot point. So I think for a lot of people, we have that initial conversation first to really get them on the same page with what the actual definition of success looks like and the actual end goal. And then from there, we're able to kind of figure out, all right, what do we need to do procedurally in the business to structure it so that the business can scale and serve as a foundation so that you can enjoy the fruit of your labor.
Yeah, I definitely want to get into some of those strategies, but I notice behind you, you have some beautiful portraits of your own family, And I was just curious, did you struggle with this personally? And you know, how did you deal with it?
Good question. So it did. And initially, my son, Joseph, was born first. He's 8 now. When he was born, I kind of had this mentality that, like, this is my world at this point, and I want to do everything I possibly can to provide for him. So I kind of defaulted into work my face off mode. And the mentality I had in that moment was, I am really good at business. My wife is really good at being a mother. So I was like, in the business mind, I'm like, all right, let's use our skills. I'm going to go out and just work as much as possible. Just try and build as much financial stability as I can so that in a couple of years, I can kind of ease off the gas a little bit and then spend more time. The problem was there was really no end to that hamster wheel. And it wasn't really until like I had a real not so great conversation and a real realization of the actual effect of me spending so much time focusing on work and the impact that it had on my family life that I realized that wasn't the route. So yeah, it's very personal to me to share that conversation with people and be vulnerable about how it impacted me and my relationship with my kids, with my wife, and then just try and be an example for other people to have that conversation with themselves, with their family as well.
Yeah. There's this thing up in Sonoma, this little train town, it's for little kids. And I was there with my kids. And this is, you know, when I decided to sell my business years ago, and I was on my BlackBerry and just going, that dates it too, right? But I'm on the BlackBerry and I'm like answering emails and I'm going, and then, you know, like there was something, I can't remember what it was, but my daughter's, oh, look at that. Look at that. Like a dinosaur statue thing or something like that. My kids love dinosaurs when they were kids. Look, there's a dinosaur. I'm like, yeah, yeah. You know, and I there was something about it where it just like snapped. And I was like, wow, I'm here, but I'm not really here. You know, like I just couldn't escape it and walk away from the business. And I decided at that point that I didn't know at that point in my life if I could run that business and be present with the kids. So I actually, like, that was a Friday afternoon. And Saturday, I started talking to somebody about buying my business. By Monday, we were calling our lawyers to try to get something going, just because I made that quick decision of like, you know, if I still feel this way on Monday, I'm going to sell this business, because I just really need to be there for the kids. I just couldn't do both in that particular time. And it would take me so long to train up employees and get going and move forward. So yeah, I've been there as well. And it sounds like it was an easy decision, but that was a rough weekend. Very sure. Rough weekend. Yeah.
You know what I also find today is that technology has made business so mobile that, you know, business owners, they take their business with them everywhere, with their phone, with their tablets, with everything. Mm-hmm. It's just so easy. And they're so accessible by their team members, whoever, you know, only call me if there's an emergency. Well, you know, there's a lot of emergencies, right? So you get a lot of calls on weekends and evenings and stuff like that. And I think it's even tougher today, being so accessible with technology, to really be present in your family's lives when it's not quote unquote business hours.
Yeah.
And I think it becomes so easy to work 80 hour weeks. Now, it may not be 80 hours consistently. It's like spot 2 hours here, 4 hours here, 3 more hours at midnight because I finally have quiet time. You know, it's crazy how much people are working nowadays because it's so easy to do it.
Yeah. How do you talk to people about that when you're talking to your clients? Like, how do you engage with them to try to get them to kind of step back from the technology that's ever present?
So, I mean, there's a couple of things. One is, you know, I think once you understand the actual end goal and really the impact of not being able to see that dinosaur with your daughter, like once you understand that, it becomes a lot more important for them to realize, all right, I got to put my phone down and be present, be intentional about the time I spend. But, you know, I think the other side of that is a lot of people talk about work-life balance. And I think that the idea of balance, you know, if you try and think of balancing things on a scale, you're constantly moving from one side to the other. And instead, I like to look at it as harmony. So it's not necessarily you're constantly picking up one thing, putting one thing down, but you're trying to figure out ways to kind of live a harmonious life where it's just part of your natural routine. So it's not necessarily you're totally ignoring your family, but you're able to kind of integrate it into your everyday life where everyone's on the same page.
Yeah. And I think that is definitely something that you kind of have to do because you never know. Like I had somebody, you know, tell me at one point after running my business for a couple of years, like, oh, well, you could go to lunch tomorrow. I mean, you're your own boss. You could set your own schedule. I'm like, no, my clients set my schedule. Like I can't go tomorrow, you know, but maybe we can go, you know, the next day at like, you know, 1 o'clock or something instead of noon because clients tend to call me. So it's like I would have to adjust to it. So that was sort of the way that I did a little bit of harmony with it, but it didn't always work out. Well, you know, I want to learn more from this because clearly I need some help too. We'll continue the conversation right after this. And thanks for listening and subscribing to DIY for Business with Russ and Greg here. We are talking with Jim Sabelico. We're talking about harmony, like this work-life harmony. I like that a lot better because it is difficult to balance. And, you know, people always say like life is a balancing act. Life is like, well, you know, when you're trying to balancing stuff, you drop stuff a lot of the times, right? Like stuff falls over. Harmony. I like that better because that's a nicer term. So where did you come up with that? Why did you come up with that? And how do you get people to actually convert over to that? Big question for you.
Yeah, I wish I had a big answer for you. To be honest, I don't necessarily, I don't remember when and where it was that I kind of came up with that, but you know, I'll tell you to really sum it up. It's the biggest factor of it is getting everyone on the same page and sharing a common goal. So, for me, like as an example, I work from home. My children, who are 8 and 5, understand that when the door is closed and the lights are on, Daddy's in a meeting. Like they understand and they will tell other people. So if my wife has someone in the house or something, they will act on my behalf to say, hey, Daddy's in a meeting. You guys got to be quiet. Because they understand when Daddy's in a meeting, he's earning money or he's doing something else. He's, you know, got his important thing to do. So let's not bother him. And it's a very minute thing, but it really helps to understand that everyone in the house has that same understanding of the importance of when I am in this zone, it's for a very specific reason. And when the lights off, the doors open, you're welcome in. Like it's not, you know, it's not off limits. It's a very fluid situation where, hey, if I want to stop work in the middle of the day to go swim in the pool with my kids, I'm going to. And I think having that relationship, that respect, mutual respect, where you understand, hey, when I say something is important, it really is. And when it's not, you're welcome in. But I think that it's having open communication, it's having a relationship, it's really respecting each other's boundaries. And I know that might seem like an odd thing to say with an 8 and a 5-year-old, but when you kind of groom them and raise them up in that, they understand that that's how we operate. So I think, you know, when you do that with an employee who's been with you for 8 or 5 years, same sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, at the beginning, you work with a lot of businesses on their growth and helping them scale. Do you find that getting them to that harmonious place with their work and their home life, personal life, helps them actually grow for a company? Yeah. And explain that. How does it translate into actual growth for the business?
I think it really helps them kind of see the end goal. You know, a lot of people get stuck in their work as if it's this, like they are an employee for their own company and they kind of dread quote unquote going to work, because it feels painful and it feels like when they are going to work, they're missing out on the rest of their life. So when you're able to kind of shift the way that that works and kind of integrate your life with your work and make it this situation where it's mutually beneficial, your pouring into work allows you to pour into your family more. So when you kind of understand how that really flows and you're able to be very intentional about how you structure your day, how you structure your calendar, how you structure the time you spend with your family, it allows you to be more intentional with your family. It allows you to spend more time. It gives you the freedom that you want to be able to actually enjoy the things that you're working for. So you kind of start to not dread going to work, but you enjoy being able to spend time doing those things because you understand the benefit that that has. So it takes a lot of time for most people to look at that mindset, but kind of once that mindset shifts, you know, I think it really unlocks people to realize, hey, this isn't me just going to work. This is me creating this freedom that I have to be able to go do those things. And I think without that initial investment, you kind of don't get the payoff.
You know, and I'm sorry, Russ.
I have a follow-up question. I apologize. What do you do with business owners that love work, that they don't dread work? They actually love work.
We're on the same page, Greg. I was going to ask that too. Okay.
We know those people. That's why.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess the answer is largely the same. It's trying to figure out, like, I enjoy what I do. If someone asked me if I had any plans of retiring, and I said, for what? Like, I don't technically work right now. I have fun when I like get to hang out with people and just do what I enjoy to do. So it's not, to me, it's not quote unquote going to work. It's fun. But at the end of the day, you still have bills to pay. You have responsibilities. You know, I think you have to look at that part. And you can juggle a bit where you want to spend your time, but so long as you're still intentional about making sure your family, your spouse, feel loved, supported, seen, and heard, so long as they're good, your relationships are all good with them, if you have built in some free time with yourself and you choose to use your free time, your personal time, scrolling TikTok or working, at that point, that's your time. Right, that's up to you what you choose to do, but it doesn't skirt you from the responsibility of being intentional with your family.
Yeah, I feel like it's funny that both Greg and I came up with that same question at the same exact time, because I think that was a bit of my issue for a really long time, and then it turned at a certain point where then, you know, like, and again, running the same that same business after, you know, I don't know, 11 years, like there was a turning point where it did start to feel more like work, you know, because at that point I was more, I was doing less of the work myself. I was managing more and more people. I was dealing with a lot of the accounting stuff, and there were mistakes that I made going, looking back, it would have been better had I, you know, hired somebody to run the, you know, just accounting part of it, or, you know, outsourced certain aspects of the job. Maybe I would have liked it better. But that's another, you know, thing with business is like trying to stick with what you love and eliminating a lot of that like noise that's around that. Do you talk to your clients about that part of it? Because I know you're talking about bringing in new staff and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge part. You know, I think a lot of people, they're afraid to give up the control because they think they could just do it better themselves. But for anyone who's ever actually scaled a business to anywhere important, you understand that like the way that you grow is by hiring people who are really good at a certain skill set that either you hate or you just don't have. So being able to find people and put them in positions to help you allows you to kind of scale. And I think that that's really a key that a lot of people miss out on, and they get stuck doing everything themselves. And that's a major trap.
Yeah, it's easy to get into too, because you do feel that, and I've talked to so many people that feel that way, where they just nobody could do it as well as I can, you know, like no, they don't know the secret way that I do it. Yeah, I don't know how many times I've had that conversations with business.
You know, and the funny part about that, Russ, Yeah, the funny part about that is a lot of times they're right. A lot of times they really are really, really good at, you know, all parts of their business. But to Jim's point, you can't scale. You can't grow the blocking point of every single area of your business. It's just, you know, you can only get so far. Right. And I think that's the part that business owners that resist, you know, delegating and hiring and outsourcing really get stuck with is, yeah, I'm so good at all this. Yeah, you are. I'm not arguing with you are good at it all, but you just can't do it all in a certain amount of time every day because people are going to need decisions made that you're not going to be available to make all the time. Right. And, you know, some of those things need to be done in a timely manner and you're going to be the blocker. And the sooner you understand that, the sooner you're going to be able to scale.
Right. And the longer you go with taking on everything, the bigger those blocks become and you're just messing things up. Like it's just not going to work. That's why, Greg, you know, when I know, I mean, I'm fantastic at tri-tip, but at a certain point, I just know I got to go to a barbecue restaurant every once in a while. And I can't do it every time. I know it's tough to admit that, but
I don't believe you.
All right. I only make that at home. I don't actually order that out. All right. we're going to take a short break here. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on DIY for Business. And thanks for listening and subscribing to DIY for Business, a part of the Best Business Network and Electrocast Media. You can learn from all kinds of business podcasts by heading over to thebestbusinessnetwork.com. You can learn more about this show by going to diyforbusiness.com. Both Greg and I, like we're in California right now. We're recording this during a heat wave. So both of our computers are doing some glitchy stuff here. we're working through that here as we talk about really like growing your business, but growing it in a scalable way and in a scalable way, meaning for your life, right? So, I mean, you started this business because you probably enjoyed what you were doing and you want to continue to enjoy what you're doing. And you don't want to get in the way of growing your business by being a blocker. You don't want to not be there for your family. I'm assuming, hopefully you don't want to not be there for your family, but it can be rough to run a business and, you know, be there for the family. So I'm so glad that we're talking about this, this topic. Right before the break, we were talking about outsourcing some stuff. And, Jim, you actually work with a lot of freelancers, right? So you've got an app where you can help business owners to utilize freelancers. Can you tell us a little about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a platform, legit.com, which is legiit.com. I like to say that we keep both eyes on that. So you can keep both eyes on your own business.
I like that.
But so what Legit is it's something that me and a partner built together about 4 years ago. And it's a freelance platform where people can go to get more stuff done. That's kind of our tagline. But basically what we try and do there is allow people to connect with freelancers to really grow their business and provide value in ways that they may not necessarily have in-house. So for someone who has a cheese store who needs a website done, they can focus on making great cheese and they can just outsource their website to someone who is excellent at websites, right? So they don't have to be, blocking up their production of cheese while they're sitting there trying to learn how to build a website on Squarespace. They can just connect, go find someone who's really skilled at it, and then just go get more stuff done. So that's really, been a key, I think, for a lot of people that I speak with about how do you scale your business and remove yourself as a blocker. You know, I think is the mentality that finding good qualified people to go in and do the thing that you're going to do, even if they only do it at 75% the way that you want, right? And you still have to go in and pitch that last 25% yourself. You're still getting the first 75% done.
Mm-hmm.
And that frees up 75% of your schedule to focus on the things that you should be focused on. So it's really understanding that finding good quality people who share the same values, who share the same goals, who are on the same page, like we talked about before, with you and your business, to be able to help you grow, is really a huge key for people to just get to that level of scale that they want so they can enjoy that freedom.
Yeah, I love the strategy of using freelancers.
Yeah, so do I. Yeah,
I think that's a luxury of technology nowadays. I think that's one of the benefits. Earlier, I mentioned one of the downsides of being so connected. But being so connected, you can work with a lot of different freelancers. And I just curious about your strategies on how you help people pick the right freelancers, because there's a lot of bad freelancers out there too. And even though, you know, they're available and they can do the job and they could probably do it cheaper than having somebody on staff and, you know, having to pay insurance and all that kind of stuff for an employee, a lot of times these freelancers can be flaky. And, or, you know, how do you vet good freelancers that you would want to work with?
The coolest part about that, I think, is we've been fortunate enough to build a community that really polices itself. Obviously there are standards that we maintain on the platform side with, you know, making sure they're on time, making sure the communication's up to par. But the nicest part that we've really been able to take advantage of is the community aspect, where we have a community of people all around the world who not are just freelancers who just happen to sell on the platform, but they've built friendships, relationships, and they kind of look out for the health of the platform itself. So it's really been this awesome community building process where everyone has this shared goal about helping each other. And the nice part, like I said, is, you know, you get a lot of people who are looking out for you, who will help identify people who don't quote unquote fit the mold. And, you know, one of the things that we laugh about, but is true, is the expression, you're worth more than $5. And like, the reason why we laugh about it is there are other freelance platforms that happen to get a reputation for cheap labor.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you know, we believe that like that's, you don't want to trust your business to someone who's going to be low budget. You want to hire someone who's skilled, who's legit, you know, pun intended. So that's kind of where we fit in and kind of have that higher quality aspect to it.
Nice. Yeah, I've used one of those sites in the past, and definitely not worth it. from yeah. What I saw, I had some like logo. I don't know. I needed something designed. I can't remember what it was for, but I needed something designed. I was like, yeah, you know, people talk about this site all the time. I'm going to go do it. And yeah, I spent a while having to like, okay, let's explain this one more time. Let's see if we can get this done. It ended up costing me so much of my time. It was like, I could have just done this. Like, why did I do this? So it's great to know that there's vetting and screening and quality people on there. The other thing that I like about using freelancers is like, okay, so I am not fantastic at design. It is great to find somebody that can just do just that and have them do the design. So are you like, I'm assuming on this website, it's all kinds of specialties, right?
Yep. Yeah. So there's SEO, there's content writing, there's video editing, there's everything, you know, in the digital services realm.
Nice.
You know, one of the nicer parts too about that is the community aspect, just to bring it back. If you hire someone to design a logo, mm-hmm. The community aspect of that is nice because that person has generally a pretty good relationship with someone who is a website designer. So they can one-to-one refer you to someone who they know and know, like, and trust.
Yeah, very cool.
Then work with kind of the next step.
Other thing I like about using freelancers that are specialists, like we're talking about here, is a lot of times as a business owner, you just can't justify, you know, paying somebody full-time wages for a specialty that maybe you really don't need them 40 hours a week for, you know, for years to come, right? So maybe it's project-based, and using freelancers is perfect for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many times are you going to have to redo a logo?
Hopefully not many. Or you're doing logos for different products that are, you're growing, right? So you're having new products.
There you go. That you justified it. There you go. Hey, and Jim, tell us a little about you have a business where you are helping people. We mentioned this. You're consulting them to try to build that work-life balance, but you're also helping them with web design, traffic conversions, all of that as well. So tell us about your website and where people can reach out to you.
Sure. That website is jlouis.com. Which is JLOUIS.com. And that agency, you know, like we said, is really focused on the growth aspect. So we'll typically come in, help business owners kind of identify areas in their business where they can implement systems, processes, and kind of gain that freedom so they can have that work-life harmony that we also desire. So it's a mix of conversion optimization, SEO, you know, what, let me put it this way. The title on my email, my signature, isn't president, isn't founder, it's whatever it takes. And that's nice. Kind of the methodology we go by there.
I like that.
Yeah, that's a cool one. I thought friend maker. That was my title. Remember, Russ, I was going to be friend maker. True. That was cool, true. But I like whatever it takes. I like that.
Yeah, that is a good title. All right, Jeff, thank you so much for joining us.
It's been a pleasure, guys.
And in the immortal words of Elvis Presley, thank you very much.
Oh, yeah, there you go. We had to get that in there one more time. I didn't get a second smoker reference in there, but... Sure, we'll stay tuned next week.
Join us, DIY for Business, Smoker References.
Oh yeah. Hey, thanks for listening and subscribing and reviewing DIY for Business, a part of the Best Business Network and Electricast Media. The subjects that we cover on this podcast are selected with the goal of helping your business grow, specifically this one today, right? All the information provided is opinion-based, and you might want to consult a professional to discuss your exact business situation. Greg and I, we want your business to succeed, and we are happy to take your questions. We would also love to hear your suggestions for future episode. If there is an area of your business where you need some solid advice or help, let us know. Just reach out to us on our website, DIYForBusinessPodcast.com. The link is in the description. Thanks for listening and subscribing to DIY for Business, where you are not alone.
Hello, folks. Earl Breon here, host of the Responsible Leadership Podcast, part of the Best Business Network on Electricast. You're looking for a show to bring you some of the best leadership advice from some of the top thought leaders around the globe. This is the show for you. You can find us on all the podcast platforms of choice or on social media by following me, Earl Breon, B-R-E-O-N.
Electricast Records presents Jeff Simons and his brand new single, 48 Lines About 12 Men.
Johnny was a kid who grew up in Scituate. He had a million one-liners and a problem with barbiturates. He's a bartender and a bartender's son. His race was over before it even begun.
Jeff Simons, 48 Lines on Electricast. Punk and Roll for 2023.
Electricast. Your gas.